Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our program. Today's program is excerpted from a book called The Art of Waiting by Benjamin Creme. And appropriately enough, we start with that chapter with the same name and begin with an article by the Master through Benjamin Creme, which was given in January 1982, titled A New Age Concept of Time. A much-needed change in the life of humanity will come about when the concept of time has undergone a transformation. Today, most people think of time as an ongoing process, linking moments of action, whereas, in truth, time is not a process, but a state of mind. When we see this, we will transform our lives and enter into an altogether closer understanding of reality. A wonderful new freedom will become man's, and no longer dogged by the limitation of time, he will soar into his birthright. How is this to be achieved? At present, most of us are confined within the rigid framework of our daily activities. The means of living has to be earned. Decisions have to be taken in relation to others' needs. A constant battle goes on against the clock and the remorseless passage of time. There is little hope within our present modes of living of any fundamental shift in our understanding of time. Now, for the first time in history, the possibility arises for a completely new experience of that phenomenon, and social transformation is the key to this desirable happening. When humanity is one, in fact and in truth, time will disappear. When man approaches life from the inner creative standpoint, time will lose its hold over our minds and thus free us from its tyranny. All of this requires a new assessment of man's place in the universe and the establishment of a truer rapport with the source of our being.
It has become customary to speak of time as a passage of a sequence of events. A new and more correct view of time becomes possible when man takes a step to align himself with his higher self. Thus achieved, this way is open for a truer understanding of cyclic activity and non-activity, and thus of time. Such a correct understanding is inherent in a correct relationship to our fellow men, for only when the sense of separateness no longer exists can a true realization of cyclic activity come about. A new world order, political and economic, is the essential prerequisite for this truer vision, for the required sense of oneness can be achieved only when harmony and justice prevail. What this means in practical terms is the creation of structures, political and economic and social, which will bring men together and create the sense of oneness on all planes and in every field. When men see this, they will take the measures to implement the necessary changes and pave the way for the establishment of correct human relations. From that new relationship between men will emerge the conditions on which a new sense of time depends.
From the Master's viewpoint, time exists only in the sense of cyclic waves of activity followed by non-activity, repeated infinitely. He is completely unconditioned by time as sensed in the three worlds of human experience and must make constant adjustments when dealing with his disciples, for instance, in order to accommodate his meaning and intentions to the state of consciousness of those still ensnared by time. Already, signs are appearing that men's minds are beginning to realize the inadequacy of their approach to time, and it will not be long before an intellectual appreciation of this fact becomes more general. Inherent in many of the discoveries of present-day science is the assumption that time is dual, and more, this will condition men's perception of reality. But only as the result of man's direct awareness of himself as part of an integral whole will a true realization of time be his. When man creates around himself the forms and structures based on unity and brotherhood, essential for their integration to take place, he will stand on the threshold of an entirely new experience of reality, from which will flow a steady stream of creativity unlike aught seen before in this world.
And now we have some excerpts from Benjamin Krem, from a talk given by Benjamin Krem, I should say, at the 1996 Transmission Meditation Conferences in San Francisco, USA, and also in Kerkrade in the Netherlands. If you think about it, it does not take too much of a leap of the imagination to see that time actually does not exist. It is an illusion. And yet we order, we live our lives in relation to this total illusion that time is a process of events marked off by the hours and minutes. We think of history, prehistory, and the time yet to come. We are afraid of it. We look ahead and say, I am going to get old, tired. I am going to die. I cannot, dare not think of that moment in time. Hopefully not tomorrow or next week or next year, not for many, many years to come. People live out the whole of their lives dominated by the concept of the past and the future, so that almost no one to any great extent lives in the present moment. Everyone, almost without exception, thinks of life as the past and the future. We regret the past and are afraid of the future. Children are notorious for having no sense of time at all. That is why they are practically the only truly alive exponents of the human experiment, because they are not conditioned by time. Everyone else, short of masters and high initiates, is dominated by the total illusion that time exists. Therefore, we are either regretting something or waiting for something. We are regretting all the years and all the days and those years when we did not put into effect all our potential, whatever it happens to be. We wish we had worked earlier and harder. We wish we had really taken that opportunity and not missed it, not been afraid, tired, or too timid really to do anything special.
It is no accident that the very first article that the master wrote for Share International magazine is called A New Age Concept of Time. The masters never do anything, however slight, however trivial it might appear, which does not have an underlying purpose. They never waste an opportunity to serve the plan, to aid a disciple in some way, to enlighten where they can. Everything they do is done with a purpose. But I am certain it is no accident. The very first article is about time, or the absence, the illusion of time, a new age concept of time. It is also, I am certain, no accident. The very first time I was overshadowed by Maitreya in March 1959, soon after the initial contact with my master, when he told me he was coming into the world in about 20 years and that I would have a role to play in his coming if I accepted it, that, at the time, he gave me the most extraordinary experience, a vision of precisely how the masters see reality in the complete absence of time.
As I watched what looked like the past, I was also watching what looked like the future. I saw myself. I saw people I knew. I saw events connected with the reappearance. All these things were shown to me. I was totally aware of these events taking place at the same time. There was no sense of past or future. There were simply the events which we call the past and those which we call the future, taking place simultaneously. It was an all-round vision, and I was in the middle, experiencing it, feeling it. It was like cinema, only more real. Even the most horrific battles did not give me any kind of emotion. I simply saw them as events which were happening, and likewise in the future. I was seeing that in the only time which exists, which is now. and it is everlasting. There is no past, there is no future, there is only now.
We, on the other hand, have a confused idea of time. From infancy, we become conditioned and, in the deepest sense, enthralled by the illusion that time exists. We make it not only exist, but practically the most important thing that does exist. We govern our lives completely by that illusion. We find waiting difficult because we are conditioned by this factor of time and therefore the expectations which that sets up. Of course, as we live our lives in relation to other people, earning a living, taking trains, buses and planes, we create the conditions in which time is very important. If you turn up at the airport half an hour after your plane has gone, you have missed it. We regulate our lives in order to conform to that which we take to be the most important thing in life. If, on the other hand, you are a creative person, I mean that in the broadest sense, if your thought processes are creative, emanating from the soul, which has no sense of time, because the soul is completely outside of time, and no doubt if you are a writer, poet, artist, musician, or scientist involved in profoundly engrossing work, anybody who loves work, who can be totally engrossed hour upon hour in that work, you know that what I am saying is true. Time no longer exists. It is no factor in the creative process.
The experience of work and the concentration of all your attention in that work removes from you, for the period of the work, the illusion which you normally have that time exists. This is why, if you are a creative person, really engrossed in that creativity, you can start work at 9 a.m. and by 4:30 p.m. realize you have had no breakfast or lunch. None of that matters. Breakfast time came and went. Lunch time came and went for most people. This is the kind of attention and concentration which only comes to those who can really immerse themselves in creative work at an intensity where time disappears completely from their consciousness. That is the true state of life. That creative, non-conditioned by time awareness is the only true, free, creative condition that exists. My master recently wrote about this idea of time and timelessness and our obsession with time. The article shows how the masters look at it. It is in the July-August 1996 edition of Share International and is called The Perennial Choice.
And here's a quote from that article. With impatience do many await this time, the time for the coming out of Maitreya, the choice that lies before humanity, the inspiration and teaching of Maitreya, all of that, knowing little of the many factors, cosmic and other, which must be balanced by Maitreya to fulfill the law. Nothing may be done which infringes the free will of men. Naught but the law and an understanding of the times can influence the judgment of Maitreya on the moment of his public appearance. Of one thing you may be assured, not one moment's delay will be countenanced by Maitreya, which would otherwise allow his open mission of service to begin. He alone is the arbiter of that moment. Await and trust his judgment. That judgment rests on knowledge unknown to men. A cosmic grasp alone permits its correct assessment. Even so, Maitreya must make weighty decisions on slender and changing data. A fine line indeed divides the necessary and the possible. Trust, then, the skill and action of the Lord of Love. Chafe not at the seeming delay of his appearance. In the all-embracing now, no such delay exists.
That is the reality. I do not remember exactly how, but I have no doubt in that vision which Maitreya gave me in March 1959 of the timelessness of all reality. In the events to come column, the future column, I saw Maitreya emerged. There is a wonderful quotation from the Agni Yoga teachings. If you love work, understand it as a substitute for time. That is precisely what work is. If you love work in the sense of dedicating your time and energy to a creative process of whatever kind, it becomes a substitute for time. Time disappears in that state of creativity. It was said of Rembrandt, a third-degree initiate and a great artist, that he would not allow an interruption of his work and therefore of his concentration, even if the king were knocking at the door. He would never allow any kind of interruption in his working time because he knew that as soon as the interruption took place, he would be brought back into time. Time is the opposite, the denial of that creative rhythm which is work. If you love work, therefore, consider it as a substitute for time.
If there is no time, there is no waiting, there is no delay. Delay does not exist if time does not exist, and is only our sense that we are expecting a certain event. We see time as a succession of events marked off by the days, hours, and weeks. It is not that at all. Time pertains only to the brain. It is an illusion, a state of mind. Most people have the state of mind in which time exists. The masters have a state of time in which time does not exist. Babies and young children also have a state of mind in which time does not exist. A child lives so much outside time that he forgets. If you say to him, "What did you do today?" he will look at you. "What a stupid idea. How could you expect me to tell you what I did today? I can tell you what I am doing now, which is talking to a stupid man." But what did you do today? Today does not exist. There is no sense of that time before this moment for a child. He has no concept of that. That is why a child seems so caught up, not taking part in these very closely monitored, registered, cut-up bits of experience which we call time. As soon as you move out of your physical body, time disappears. If you can do it, and you can very easily learn to do it and move in your etheric body, which is the counterpart to the physical, you lose all sense of time. Out of the physical body, time does not exist because time is simply the illusion of the brain. If we were not conditioned by the way we live, we would have no sense of time. We make it necessary to regulate every moment of our day according to a clock. We build social, political, and economic structures which lock us into a time frame.
How do you think Maitreya can make all these extraordinary forecasts? The end of the Cold War, the unification of Germany, the release of Mandela, and so on. It is simply that he sees the events. He knows that these events will happen because they are already happening. Inevitably, they will precipitate and become reality. The more we realize this, the more we will lose our impatience. We will find an ability to stand, to be there, and simply watch it take place on the outer physical plane, without this constant desire for news, without saying, "When is it going to happen?" We all say, "Come on, Maitreya," to speed it up, to get this period of turmoil and chaos over. It will not be over the moment Maitreya appears, but that will go a long way. We have to realize that as far as Maitreya and the masters are concerned, especially in connection with the open emergence of Maitreya, there are no set dates. The media and everyone else keep asking me, "When is Maitreya going to appear? What is the date for this or that?"
The more advanced a person becomes, the more his soul and therefore the altruistic nature of the soul demonstrates. At the same time, the more individual that person becomes too. This seems to be a contradiction, but it is not. The more advanced the person, the more the soul is the person. The more you are really seeing the nature of that person's soul, and the more creative that person becomes. The more creative, the more distinguishable as an individual. That is why you would never look at a Matisse and think it was a Picasso, or vice versa. They were contemporaries, exactly the same degree in initiation, but each completely distinct and unique in his way of expression. I use painters as an example because it comes easily to me to think of them. The same could be said of scientists or anyone engaged in creative life. The more advanced, the more they are the soul, the more advanced and more paradoxically they are the unique individual. Individuality is not something which should be lost, but it should be enhanced and put at the service of the soul.
We will create machinery. Millions of people in thousands of factories all over the world are doing nothing all day long but acting in a machine-like way. The sense of being dominated by time will disappear. We will construct our lives in entirely new ways. People will work more and more at home. They will have more recreation. The energy of millions of people will be released, and a tremendous creativity will flow out from humanity all over the world.
Thanks very much for listening to our program. If you'd like more information, check out the website share-international.org or email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all.